Welcome to God's Acre on the Go, a worship podcast of the Congregational Church of New Canaan in New Canaan, Connecticut. To learn about the life of our church, our in-person ministries, and the virtual connections and offerings available, please visit us at www.godsacre.org. Now, wherever you are, wherever you are going, we welcome you to worship.
Church family, good morning. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to God's Acre on the Go this Thanksgiving weekend in the life of the church, wherever you happen to be, whatever you're doing, wherever you are. Just know that we're grateful to have you tuning in. It is Thanksgiving Sunday, as I said, at church, so we do our huge Thanksgiving service project, helping local families in need have enough food for their Thanksgiving meals. It's also Stewardship Sunday, where we invite you to really think deeply about how you might give to and through the church to the glory of God this year. You likely have already received your stewardship informational packets. If not, and you're just someone who kind of tunes into our podcast, you can visit godsacre.org and make a pledge to support our ministries through the website. We'd really appreciate that. But there's a piece to our stewardship campaign this year that's unique and really important. I'll say a word about that in the message this morning, but we're really trying to think together, pray together, discern together where the Holy Spirit might be leading us next. What might be that next great work that we're being called to? So as we prepare our hearts and minds to think about that and to be prepared for the word we will receive in the Gospel of Matthew today, let's listen to our dear brother in faith, Aram Chabanian, as he sings, "Bless Thee for This Sacred Day."
Bless Thee for this sacred day. Thou hast every blessing given, which sends the dreams of earth away, and yields a glimpse of heaven. Rich day of holy, thoughtful rest, may we improve its calm repose, and in thy service truly blessed, forget the us from earth's strife, intent with one clear aim alone, bear us to Thee, the Lord of life, and rest us at Thy sheltering throne.
So today we turn our attention again to the 25th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew and a parable referred to as the parable of the talents. And Jesus speaks of this in this way. He said, "For it is as if a man going on a journey summoned his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, each according to his ability, and then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the one talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves returned to settle accounts with them, and the one who had received five talents came forward bringing five more talents, saying, "Master, you handed over to me five talents. See, I have made five more." His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." And then the one who had two talents also came forward, saying, "Master, you handed over to me two talents. See, I've made two more talents." His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy servant. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Then the one who'd received the one talent came forward, saying, "Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow, gathering where you did not scatter. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here is what is yours." But his master replied, "You wicked, lazy slave. You knew, did you, that I reaped where I do not sow and gather where I do not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him, give it to the one with 10 talents. And to those, for those who have, more will be given, and they will have in abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless servant, throw him into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Now, I want to pair this with a text from John that we're linking to our stewardship campaign. Jesus has been preaching and teaching and healing people, and he has this private conversation with his disciples before his death where he says, "Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do. In fact, they will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father." The word of God for the people of God. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you every Sunday, but in this Thanksgiving Sunday, our gratitude is even more pronounced. For we think deeply about all that you have done, all that you're doing, and all that you promised to do in our lives. And Lord, in the season of stewardship, we really think about how we might give back to you in ways that are pleasing to you and glorify you. So help us in that process, we pray, in Jesus' name. So, the parable of the talents. I've always found this to be an encouraging but also a haunting little parable. In the 25th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus is speaking of the end times and of our final judgment. So it doesn't get much weightier than that. And the edginess of Jesus's parable, all three of them in Matthew 25, the edginess might have something to do with Jesus's own sense of urgency. It was clear at this moment in the Gospels that Jesus' time on earth was growing short, and he wanted us to understand the benefits of living well as the consequences of not doing so. You know, this parable ends on a rather harsh and seemingly uncharitable note, I realize, but for Jesus and for us, when it comes to God's judgment on our lives, individually and collectively, the stakes are pretty darn high. Now, I don't know about you, but at the end of my days, I'd really like to hear the voice of our Lord say to me, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your master." I want to hear that for myself, but I got to say, I dearly want that for all of you too. In fact, I kind of believe my job is to try to encourage everyone to live in ways that allow for that divine end-of-life acclamation. Now, according to Jesus, investing our God-given talents well in the time that we've been allotted, that's key to meaning and salvation in this life and in the next. So on this Stewardship Sunday, I just want to make a few brief observations. I also want to make a suggestion for our church. And then I want to end by reminding all of us, myself included, for whom we live and move and have our being, as Paul referred to in the book of Acts. So, the first observation about this parable that I want to draw your attention to is that, according to Jesus, Everyone is given talents by God. You have been endowed with God-given abilities that the Lord wants you to invest in the world. So you've got talent. You've got talent. Believe it. If you don't know what those talents are, then, you know, let's get together and figure it out. We have people in our church who are good at discerning the gifts and abilities in others. There is talent within you that is meant to be well utilized. Now, notice, though, if you were paying attention to the parable as I read it, we all get talents, but we all don't receive the same number. You know, I can't read this text without thinking back to high school and my classmate, Sean Scott. Sean was given way, way too many talents, in my opinion. Sean was an all-state athlete in football, basketball, and baseball. And he played in the Oakland A's organization for a time. Sean was handsome. He was a National Merit Scholar. Truth is, most of us were pretty darn envious of Sean. I was always a very active, but also a very average athlete. So I was, like, totally envious. However, because I was one of the only boys in the high school choir, while I didn't do a whole lot on the athletic field, I was given most of the leads in the school plays and musicals. I remember one day I was in the kitchen reading the latest article on Sean Scott's most recent athletic achievement, and my dad, guy I love, who knew of my envy but also was this unfailingly encouraging guy, he came in, put his arm around me and said, "Chapin, think of it this way. You're like the Sean Scott of the theater." You know, not the gift I most coveted, but it was the gift I received. See, when it comes to talents, we don't all get the same number, nor the ones we might choose for ourselves, but we all receive something. So never forget, you've got talent. You really do. Now, second, a talent is incredibly valuable, even before it's invested. Before you have made anything of the gifts you've been given, they are of significant worth. Now, a talent was a monetary unit equal to more than 15 years' wages of a laborer. Now, according to Bill Malone, our Wednesday morning Bible studies legal scholar and mathematician, a talent equates to roughly $400,000 in today's dollars. Now, that's a lot of money for most people. That gift you've been given, whether you realize it or not, in its rough, unpolished form, even as it's undeveloped, it is extremely valuable. And here's why. That gift or ability you have, that thing that you're just naturally good at, follow me here. It is one of God's own attributes that God has chosen to place within you to be used for the good of the world. I mean, you heard it as I read it. The parable says this. It is as if a man going on a journey summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. His property to them. If you can't quite wrap your mind around what that means, that's understandable because it's this wildly wonderful claim. And this is what it means. You have God's own abilities within you. You are endowed with some of the capabilities of our Creator. That's why talents are so darn valuable. They are literally of God. Now, well, I believe that this is mostly an encouraging bit of instruction from Jesus. Two-thirds of the examples are extremely positive, right? They end, "Well done, good and trustworthy servant. You've been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things." That's good news. There is, however, I know, that final third, which is very much a cautionary tale. For fear of losing the resources entrusted to him, the servant with the one talent hid what was given to him in the backyard. Now, not only did he not make anything out of what he'd been given, but in the end, the talent's taken from him entirely and given to another. Now, that sounds harsh, but it is an undeniable truth, right? You've got talent. However, if you don't use it, you lose it. That's the truth, as harsh as it may seem. If you don't invest yourself, if you don't invest in yourself, you lose the abilities you've been given. Now look, we've all had fears that get the best of us. It happens. Each of us has been a little risk averse from time to time. But if ever there was a parable for Fairfield County folks, I think this is it. I've heard so many stories from so many of you about a moment when you had to decide. Were you going to take a risk and fully invest yourself and your God-given abilities for your future? Were you going to go all in? You were nervous about it, about going all in and fully trusting in your ability, but in the end, you dared to take the risk, and it paid off, and it paid off huge. We understand this lesson when it comes to finance. Let's make sure we understand it in terms of our faith. God has endowed us with a lot. We have a lot to return to the Lord. In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus says, "To whom much has been given, much will be required. And from the one to whom much has been entrusted, even more will be demanded." That's a huge responsibility. But I would suggest it's an even greater honor. Now, individuals have gifts. We've said that already. But so do communities. And when we invest our gifts together, the impact that we have goes just well beyond any of our individual efforts. So, yes, this is the formal stewardship plug, and I just need to say we do need you. Even if you're just a casual listener on Sundays, we need you to give generously and to the very best of your ability so that our financial goals are met and that we're able to continue to offer the kind of ministry that you've become accustomed to. But it's the other goal that we have this year that we're striving toward that may be the most consequential for our future life together. So Jesus had this amazing preaching, teaching, and healing ministry in the region of Galilee that blessed countless lives and drew crowds of thousands. But Jesus said in the Gospel of John, and we read this together, that through the power of his Holy Spirit, he said, "The ones who believe in me will also do the works that I do. In fact, will do greater works than these." We'll do greater works. Jesus said that we would be able to do greater and more expansive work than Jesus did himself. I mean, think about that. When we fully invest our congregation's gifts in the world, it means that we can be a powerful and prophetic force for healing, wholeness, learning, and peace, and reconciliation, and unity in the world. The Church of Jesus Christ can be the very salvation a fractured and divisive world desperately needs. Just imagine what we can accomplish in Jesus' name if we dared to take the kinds of risks with our personal and congregational gifts that many of you make in the normal course of business every single day. And that's what we're asking you to do this year, to pray, to imagine, to discern. What is the next great work we're being called to as a church? And when I say that, it's not what we want to do. No. But what does the Lord desire of us? That's the question. I mean, we've got talent, so let's really invest it. If you get your stewardship packet, you'll see a pledge card where you can write down what those visions and dreams are. But also there's this map on the front. And what we did is it's really neat, color-coded it, but there's a colored dot that represents all our mission partnerships around the country and in the world. And then there's another colored dot that represents all the pastoral care connections, many prayer shawls given in our local communities and around the world. And then we've got another color-coded dot that shows where our virtual audience, where those of you listening are. And it is wild to see all the many countries around the entire globe that tune in from time to time. So what we're praying for is for 425. We had a goal of 400 last year, but we're praying for 425 imagined and discerned greater works for our congregation. How, through the power of the Holy Spirit, can we invest ourselves so that at the end of time, our Lord says about our entire church family, "Well done. Well done, good and faithful servants. Enter into the joy of your master." Okay, by the grace and goodness of God, we've made it through a pandemic. We're managing through a great migration of long-term members out of town and brand new families making their way in. Our little New Canaan church has a global reach we never could have imagined. Now what? Now what? That's the question. What is that greater work we're being called to by our Lord? Let's get serious about discovering that work together, and then let's dare to invest ourselves in those directions as if our eternal destiny and the good of the world depended on it. Jesus encourages nothing less from us. Now, one last note about this parable, an additional piece of good news, in my opinion, that I don't want you to miss. When it comes to the evaluation of your life and mine, we have but one evaluator. We live and die for an audience of one. I think this is incredibly good news. There is only one from whom you and I need to seek approval. In the end, the opinions of your friends and enemies are of no consequence. Your family's evaluation of you matters not. If your spouse is constantly annoyed with you and your teenagers think you're stupid, no worries whatsoever. I mean, your report card, your SAT score, your end-of-year review, the opinions of your colleagues, your boss, your investors, they do not factor into the evaluation of your life one iota. The Lord God alone has the final say over our lives. You have only one to please. So take what you've been given, make the most of it. Don't hide your gifts from the world out of fear. Invest yourself daringly, and you will be rewarded with these words. Well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. Let's pray. Lord God, you have endowed us with so many gifts and abilities. We don't always have the same number, and we certainly don't have the same gift set as the person next to us. But you've given us something that you want us to invest in the world for the good of the world. So help us to think deeply about how we might do that, not just individually, Lord God, but collectively as a church. What greater work are you calling us to in the coming years ahead? We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. So church family, happy Thanksgiving. I hope you enjoy this week ahead and may these words, this priestly ancient benediction, carry you into the week ahead. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with kindness and give you peace now and forevermore. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Worship on the Go. To support this podcast and the ministries of our church, please consider making a contribution by clicking the Give button in the top right on our website, www.godsacre.org, or within today's email. God bless you and have a wonderful week.